Upfront on The Voice of America. I'm your host, Jackson Vunganyi, and we're coming to you from the Voice of America studios here in Washington, D.C. We want to thank you for joining us today. Now, research shows that sub-Saharan Africa leads the world in the rates of female entrepreneurship. That's women-run or operated business ventures, from selling vegetables on a street corner in Monrovia to owning an airline in South Africa. Women-run businesses are a matter of necessity, mostly to support their families and, by extension, their communities. And when you take time to listen to their stories, the stories of their experiences and struggles, they're often fascinating and paint a complex picture of resilience and empowerment. There are also stories of women who often have to overcome, among many things, the gender and cultural biases that hinder them from operating their business. But like most stories in Africa, they often go untold. The good news is that more African storytellers are now committing their skills, time, and resources to tell these stories. They hope that by telling them, they will challenge existing narratives on their struggles, but most importantly, inspire a growing cohort of young African entrepreneurs around the continent. On the show today, we'll talk to Jacqueline Sibanda, a Zimbabwean-American storyteller who plans to visit all 55 African countries. Her mission is to find and tell the stories of African entrepreneurs. But before we get into our discussion with Jacqueline Sibanda and others, let's first listen to your opinions on today's topic. What are the female entrepreneurs that inspire you?
Holy fire, holy water, holy money, only money, only money.
A woman entrepreneur who inspires me a lot is founder of the Malawi First Technology Hub, known as the M-Hub. I'm impressed with this woman because she's just a girl. She's young and courageous. For example, she achieved a lot at her young age. For example, in 2016, she was among the 30 promising entrepreneurs in Africa.
A woman who inspired me a lot is our former head of state, Madam Joyce Banda. Being a former head of state here in Malawi, she has done so many great things being an entrepreneur in a way that, as I'm saying now, she has a school, Joyce Banda Foundation. And having this school, she has tried to employ some teachers there, not even teachers, talking of accountants, and so doing, reducing the rate of unemployment here in Malawi.
We would like to thank our listeners for sharing with us their opinions on today's topic of discussion. If you're just joining us, welcome and thank you. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi, and we are talking about entrepreneurship in Africa with a special focus on women. Sub-Saharan Africa leads the rest of the world in the numbers of female entrepreneurs. But when you take time to listen to each one of these stories, the stories of these women, you will hear stories of resilience and empowerment. You know, many of these women have to overcome gender and cultural biases in their societies as they struggle to support their families and essentially support their communities. However, like I said earlier, their stories often go untold, and that is about to change. Jacqueline Sibanda, a Zimbabwean-American storyteller, joins me in the studio today, and she tells me that she plans to visit all 55 African countries. Her mission is to find and tell the stories of women entrepreneurs across Africa.
It is a simple idea to address a pet peeve of mine, and I'm a long-standing peeve, I'm sure, for a lot of Africans, of trying to unpack that Africa as a country trope. It's outdated, it's inaccurate, and in fact, if you're talking about Africa, you are talking about 55 stories, not one.
Not one story. So, and how are you going to tell these stories?
I want to use audio, and specifically audio, because data is expensive, right? It's expensive here, and it's certainly expensive across the continent. And I want to be able to give away the stories in the global south because radio has such good reach. Even in the most rural communities, there's access to radio.
So you're going to tell 55 stories reflecting 55 countries of the African continent.
Countries.
In each country, you're going to tell one story.
My bar is very low. I need just one story from each country. I'm confident that I'll get more, but my baseline is one story from each country.
How are you going to decide which story to tell?
It's going to start by word of mouth. So where I have contacts, I'm asking, do you know an interesting woman entrepreneur who's doing great stuff, either using her enterprise for social impact or just running a really, really compelling business and doing very well?
It's going to be hard to find just one because there are like so
exactly.
many. So
that
I guess your biggest job will be obviously editing the stories down and other logistical challenges, but figuring out which one of the stories is much more compelling than the other. You know, because there's so many. Africa is rife with stories of women entrepreneurs who are resilient, working against all odds, and have been able to survive and holding up their families and their communities.
And
sky. And half the sky.
As women too.
Right. So it will be a challenge, I guess, for you to be able to find that one story in a country to be able to tell. What kind of angles are you going to?
I'm trying to surface the stories that are not typically told. So as much as I think is great stuff, I'm tired of the tech startups, right? And I'm seeing quite a lot of the African clothing. So I'm going to move away from
those. Are kind of worn out now,
for lack of a better. Some of the things that have caught my eye as I'm traveling is, you know, a woman in Ghana at the traffic lights, planting chips, selling at the traffic light. She has figured out which intersection has the best business. She has figured out the packaging. When I bought a pack, they were hot. So however she's getting them from production to where the customer is, there's a process to that, and nobody really pays attention. It's not sophisticated business, but it is sophisticated because she's also got a baby on her back.
Absolutely. I feel like those are the really important stories we tell everyday stories about tech. Those are the cool stories to tell, but we forget that the people who raised us, our mothers, who were in the informal sector, were the real heroes, the real MVPs, for lack of a better term.
MVPs. No, that's the best term.
So what inspired you? Why did you decide, you know, at this point in your career, you know, doing very well, like international development, say international development organizations. Why did you decide that this is the next, phase in your life or the next chapter in your life?
So I think it was more frustration than inspiration, because what I would see when I visited any country in Africa, mostly in the south, because that's where I'm from, that's where I have a network, what I was seeing, you know, was not necessarily reflected in the stories we were reading. And I think storytelling about Africa has gotten better. But still, I was seeing so much stuff that just doesn't get out there. So, you know, why not me? If I'm missing it, then maybe I should be the one to take responsibility for filling the gap, right?
Basically, this whole idea that we need to start telling our stories.
Yes.
Keeps everybody should play a role. They have,
and if you have a mobile phone which has video and photos and a voice memo app, you can tell a story. So, no, I have no excuse.
V-Tech, the awesome. One for the party, two for the money, three for the honey.
Yo, this is the Dread Mighty Sign, CAB312 KFC. Listening to Upfront right here, the voice of America with Jackson and Nadia. No doubt.
Hi, this is Mariam from Kampala, Uganda, and I'm listening to Upfront on Voice of America. Ciao, ciao.
What's up, Africa? You are listening to Upfront on the Voice of America.
Why is it important to tell our stories?
I want to tell our stories because having seen, you know, having worked in international development, I see what the odds are for African women and for girls in Africa. And I think entrepreneurship is one of the ways women can empower themselves instead of waiting to be rescued. But also, you know, I moved to the UK at the age of 7, not speaking a word of English. And I think I have somewhat of an obligation to be brave because having seen some of the data about potential outcomes for a girl child in Africa, I realized the fact that my mother even survived my brother's birth to have a second child. I've already defied the odds.
Right.
So the prospect of trekking across Africa's 55 countries sounds monumental, should be scary, but...
It's also a personal challenge you're willing to take on.
It's a personal challenge I'm willing to take. In the way, also,
an homage to your mother and all the African women that overcome these challenges every day.
Every day. But also, why not me?
Why not? Why not you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that's what everybody should be asking themselves. Why not,
me?
When do you hope to be done with this project? It's monumental. Are you going to travel all the 55 countries?
I have to, because otherwise I haven't done it. And I don't want to be on my deathbed saying, oh my God, there's one
I
more
I should have
country.
Done.
Yeah. So first of all, I'm not very patient, so I can't do this over 5 or 10 years. I would like to be done maybe in about 3 years. And Africa is interesting because you can cluster right by corners. So recently I went to Johannesburg, and from there I was able to go to Gaborone and, you know, other places, Lusaka, and get stories within that southern cluster. So I'm going to try to organize it that way. The tougher ones for me will be the Francophone and maybe Ethiopia. I don't have any Amharic skills. But that's going to be about using that network to get fixers and somebody that can help me get the story. So I don't necessarily have to do all the interviews. I just have to find, package, and distribute, right?
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break, but we'll continue with our conversation later on with Jacqueline Sibanda. Don't go away.
I'm an entrepreneur who does agribusiness. An example is Grace Mhango. She grows crops including maize, tobacco, and legumes. Grace inspires me in the way that being a woman, she is strong, hardworking, and result-oriented.
A woman entrepreneur that inspires me are those that are in agribusiness. They inspire me because they feed the nation, and it's a profitable business because every day people would want to eat. So venturing into agribusiness is a very good investment. We are assured of availability of market.
Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. In the studio with me is Jacqueline Sibanda. She's a storyteller whose current mission is to travel the African continent to shine a light on some of the stories and experiences of female entrepreneurs, from the lady selling fabric in the market in Accra, Ghana, to a tech entrepreneur in Nairobi, Kenya. Stories of empowerment and resilience in the face of social to financial barriers. The African continent has been going through a lot of transformation, changes over the past couple of years. How are you hoping to reflect that in your stories? But most importantly, let's talk about your logo, which itself had to go through
a transformation.
Right?
I think my role in reflecting those changes will be to find the people that can tell them from the context, the people that are living these changes, you know, on a daily basis. And two, I wish Morocco... Well, I'm glad they're back in the African Union after 33 years out of the fold. I wish I had realized that before I created my logo, which was very beautiful.
Very interesting backstory to Jacqueline's logo was that when I first met her, I think you had it Africa 54. 54, it was 54. We'll put it up so you guys can check it out. But
and
you
it
know,
was
you,
beautiful. It, had,
it was beautiful, perfect, well done. And then Morocco decides to join the African Union after, which is a good thing.
Yeah, so
but then
they
meant for you going back to the drawing board again now and talk to your graphic designer and say, how do we reflect Morocco?
I
must say that the new logo looks equally beautiful. So
we'll show the before and after.
Right.
But basically, you know, Morocco left the OAU 33 years ago and finally decided to come back to the fold January 2017. So I have this beautiful logo, 54 stories, and it's perfect. And I love it. And everybody goes, when they say it.
Mm.
But I keep reading about 55 countries.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, that can't be right.
Why is AllAfrica.com
making mistakes about the number of countries?
So many people are still making that mistake, by the way.
Yeah. So I went to the AU website, discovered Morocco, came back, and had to update the logo to reflect, because authenticity, right?
Absolutely.
To the continent matters.
Absolutely, that matters. So again, going back to the idea of this transformation in this and the stories that you're going to tell that reflect the changes that have been happening on the continent, are you going to reflect it in demographics of people that you're going to interview? So an older woman in, say, in Liberia, you know, doing her business. I'm saying this because I have this a picture that I actually took on the street of Monrovia on a Sunday afternoon of a woman selling yams outside of a bank that was closed. I was looking for an ATM machine, and ATM machines in Monrovia, working ATM machines are very hard to come by. But okay, I found this woman selling her yams on the side of the street, on the side of the road, and she looked about 70 years old.
Wow.
You know, still, you know, in perfect health.
Yeah.
About 4 or 5 yams on there, so I decided to buy all of them, even though I wasn't, you know, going to cook them. But I just felt like I needed to support this person because I felt there was a story there. Even though I did not tell the story, I felt like I became part of the story by, you know, supporting the business. But I feel like that's a story in itself. There's also a story of that woman, a younger woman in her 20s, carrying a baby on her back, like you said, in Ghana, selling.
Yeah. Well, I love that. First of all, there's already strategy in her decision to be outside the ATM.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because you know
there,
people will be
will
there.
Actually have cash. And I had that moment recently as well, on my way to Kumasi in Ghana. A woman wanted to sell me plantain chips. I said, I'll trade you. I'll buy the chips, but I need a photo. And I've got a beautiful photo of her.
That's beautiful.
She looks amazing.
Mm.
So quid pro quo, you know, there's opportunity, there's enterprise. And there is a diversity of ages, of situations, you know, and I'm fully expecting to get those stories. And I think what we sometimes fail to capture right now is that Africa has more than black Africans, right? There's a lot of Indians.
There's a lot of diversity on the continent that we overlook.
There's a yoga studio actually in Tanzania that I want to go to. So
you already know some of this place.
Owned by a white South African woman. So there are different businesses that I'm interested in, you know.
Interesting.
Yoga is not typically associated with Africa.
Absolutely
so
not.
Fascinating.
Yes. I'm very fascinated by that. I just had like a mental image of that, of a yoga studio in Tanzania owned by a white South African woman. That's such a beautiful, in Zanzibar.
In Zanzibar.
Beautiful story.
Yeah, so I want to go and namaste in Zanzibar with this African woman. You know,
Jacqueline Sibanda, we look forward. I am very excited about your project.
Yeah, I hope you can join me on some of my trips.
I hope I can.
Yeah,
when I'm on the continent,
amazing.
I'll definitely call you and we can trek around together in some of these cities. So nice to have you on the show today. Thank you very much for coming in and very good luck with the project. When are you starting? When are you hitting the road?
I feel like I've already started. For me, the Johannesburg Gaborone,
the process
was my first real story mission. You know, not by accident, but deliberately. I left DC to go and get those stories because I'd identified them. And, you know, I've got a 20-something-old who used to be in China, being the first African news anchor. She's got an amazing story and she started an app.
Mm.
And then I have a friend who is closer to the 50s who is trying to build a pipeline of TV and film production talent in South Africa, you know, young black people who are typically not, you know,
in that
industry.
Space.
Exactly.
Yes.
But at the same time, we have to be right to tell our own stories.
Mm.
And a woman who woke up, a scientist, had a horrid fungal infection. Her hair was falling out. She had scabs and sores. And she decided to put her science education to work and created a product that healed her own scalp and that she is now selling and trying to scale up into a full-on, you know, natural hair care business.
And how can people follow along on this journey?
For now, if you follow my Twitter feed, at 55 Stories, you can keep up to date. Don't be surprised. We haven't done much yet, but the journey has started.
Is there going to be a visual element to this at all?
Absolutely. Photos say so much, you know, and with each one, you know, for the podcast, I want to have just one photo that really captures the essence of the entrepreneur in question.
Mm.
And that's all you need is one. And that's why video for me sometimes is overdoing it. Because when you hear somebody's voice and when you see their face, you know, you read what you do. But it lets you experience it as a viewer, as a voyeur.
I agree. Jacqueline Sibanda, we wish you the very best. Thank you very much for coming in today. And we hope to have you back soon.
Thank you.
After the voyage across the continent, 55 stories.
Let's make sure your show stays on the air. So
we will be here. We will be here. We're not going anywhere.
Thank you for having me, Jackson.
So good to see you. VTech, the awesome.
One for the party. If you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I just spoke to Jacqueline Sibanda from Zimbabwe. She's a Zimbabwean American, also based here in Washington, D.C. Sibanda is embarking on a tour across Africa, all the 55 African countries. Our mission is to tell the stories of entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs, from the woman on the street corner in Kigali selling tomatoes or clothes to a tech entrepreneur in Lagos, Nigeria. Anyway, so as we continue our conversation, to help us understand some of the challenges that female entrepreneurs face on a daily basis is Tolumide. She's a Nigerian musician based here in Washington, D.C. Tolumide, like every other musician, is an entrepreneur in her own right. She produces her music, she performs at concerts, she does all these different things that a musician does without being signed to a record label. Not to say that those musicians who are signed to record labels are not entrepreneurs, but this, it makes it a little harder in that you have to do everything by yourself. And so Tolumide is in a studio to talk to us about some of the challenges that she faces as a female artist, but also as a musician.
My sweetie, my lovely, I cannot believe that you're standing here.
Do you find that having to navigate all these different spaces and these different elements of being a musician, that it makes it harder if you're a woman than if you're a man? Does your gender basically play a role in some of the difficulties or challenges that you face?
Yes, I feel so. Me being a married woman, I've found that in negotiating, sometimes when I'm the one doing the negotiating, there's a lot of pushback in terms of fees, and you know, would usually like to give a bit, stay on the lower end if I'm speaking, and then of course if my husband, you know, puts on his managerial hat and picks up the phone.
So
then
if your husband is negotiating for you on your behalf as your business manager, you're most likely going to make more money.
Yes,
than most if likely. You were doing the negotiation yourself.
Most likely, yes, that tends to happen quite often. But most times, I most of the negotiation is really done via email. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it can get difficult, but if the bio kind of presents itself, if you have a bit of a track record of, you know, doing good shows,
delivering
good quality entertainment, which is really the
industry.
Makes
it easier for them negotiating the next project.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. It does somewhat. I've also found that amongst our people, negotiating amongst my dear brothers and sisters is also different from negotiating from Westerners too. So there's always that factor of, well, you're our own, so you gotta come down on the price because we're a family, which to some degree, I can understand that, but also
negotiating
still
with your fellow Africans for a gig.
Yes, yes. there's always
they
that factor.
A discount, an African discount.
Exactly.
My sister discount.
Hey, my sister. You know, so there's always trying to kind of educate, really, on the factor of, you know, it does take money to run this business. It does take, you know, a steady income flow to be able to run a good quality, run an efficient business as you know, this music thing I'm doing. I have heard of a lot of cases from other female artists of having to deal with, you know, the extra, you know, whether it's the clothing, whether it's just to get a deal. Oh, well, come and meet me for dinner first and then we'll talk about it, you know. So I haven't experienced that, but I have heard a lot of instances of the extra stuff that women, female artists have to do there just to be able to get a gig or to get recognized or to, and it, I mean, I'm grateful that I haven't had to do that. It probably also is, it may reflect the genres too, you know, and so.
And the spaces?
And the spaces.
You're operating in America again.
Yeah, and the spaces, exactly. And the spaces, you know, I'm not here, I'm here, and I'm not, you know, I'm not back home currently, even though I do hope to do a few more gigs back home when I release my new project. I, you know, Africa is still, I mean, I know that being a female artist, an entrepreneurial female artist, is definitely comes up with a lot of challenges. So I guess the way they've been able to curb that is be part of a team. You know, Yemi Alade is part of a team, and a team where they've, you know, they've delegated efficiently. Okay, this, you're going to handle this, you're going to handle that. So, and either way, you know, and that's really the model for good business. And you just, you know, so know those key people that you need to have as part of your organization. And, you know, definitely
do you,
the strengths.
Do you feel that, is there a point where you felt that you missed out on a gig because of your gender? An opportunity would have been yours if you had been a man?
Yes. You know, a lot of the artists... and sometimes I do get the calls like, oh, we have this, you know, Nigerian or African artist coming in from out of town. Would you like to open for them and get more exposure? And so, you know, I usually come, you know, I usually say, well, why don't you first of all review my bio and let me know, you know, if it's you'd like to book me for the event. And so usually I'll get the, well, you know, the, you know, this is just for exposure. And all that.
They basically don't want to pay you.
Basically. Yeah. Basically. So.
And you're saying, if you look at my bio, I have a body of work that is compelling enough that you should be paying me instead of me trying to get exposure. I already have enough exposure.
Yes, yes.
And you feel that there's an a sexist element in that.
Yes, yes. There's somewhat of a, I mean, Catch-22, so I wouldn't. It's hard to really classify it totally as sexist.
I have to tell our listeners that you are quite an accomplished artist.
Yes,
I've seen you sing. I've seen your body of work. And so for somebody to say you need exposure.
I need exposure.
Instead of paying you.
Yes.
I feel like that's, you know, there's a little bit of sexism there.
Yes, there is.
Tolumi Day. You can follow Tolumi Day on her Instagram. Is Tolumi Day?
Yes.
On her social medias.
T-O-L-U-M-I-D-E.
Yes. I used to call her Tolumide.
Tolumi Day.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you for having me.
In.
Yes.
And with that, we come to the end of our show today. We want to thank our guests, Jacqueline Sibanda and Tolumi Day. You can connect with them on their social media accounts. You can also connect with me. My Twitter handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Remember to connect with us on our Facebook, keywords Upfront Show VOA. Subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a comment and let us know what you think about today's show. Shout out also to our listeners in Malawi who contributed their opinions on some of the female entrepreneurs that inspire them. My name is Jackson Vunganyi, wishing you a very good evening, Africa.
Give me that boost, mercy, I'm feeling your bruise. Got me in the mood, I'm loving the things you do. Give me that boost, mercy, I'm feeling your bruise. Got me in the mood, I'm loving the way you move.
Yes, in the club when we show other girls bent over. When a man pull up, the gas get over.
See us in the road now,
gas get over.
You know that.
Check out the team, man, bad when you can't touch that. Rough, me a finna become top chat. What you say, man, you can't touch that.
If you do anyhow, if you do anyhow, you can see anyhow, you can see. You know, yeah, if you do anyhow, if you do.
This is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca. As U.S. senators await the